Happy families are all alike. That's how Leo Tolstoy begins his novel Anna Karenina. He writes, every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. Over the centuries, the troubles of unhappy families have been told in novels, short stories, and memoirs. But one person's literature is another person's invasion of privacy. Stamberg continues her Tuesday series on privacy with a conversation about privacy in literature.
Write what you know, young authors are told. When they do, they tell stories that matter to them. But the stories always involve other people who often do not want their secrets told. Some authors wait until their subjects die before publishing. Others just charge ahead, reactions be darned. In 1989, Tobias Wolff wrote This Boy's Life, a memoir about growing up in the 1950s in the care of his mother's abusive, malicious boyfriend. Tobias Wolff says writers and their subjects have different goals.
Here's the problem. Every family, every group of people, every community, every country has a kind of authorized version of itself. And writers inevitably want to tell the unauthorized story. They want to get beyond the myth that that family or that community puts out about itself and tell the truth as they have actually seen it. So immediately there's a kind of subversive impulse in the whole enterprise of writing. And it is bound to be kind of inimical to people who are caught up in that version. I remember I was talking to Gay Talese once, and he was speculating as to why Italian Americans had not written the sorts of personal novels and memoirs. It was when he was writing The Tailor's Son himself, and said that the whole code of omerta of keeping quiet about private things was so strong in the Italian American community that it was inhibiting to writers. I thought that was very interesting. In fact, that code pertains in all groups.
And you think about Philip Roth, for example. Think of the heat that he took for, I'm putting this in quotes now, exposing the Jews in those early books, Goodbye
Absolutely.
Columbus, Portnoy's Complaint. He was seen as being disloyal to his people.
Exactly. And you saw it with Maxine Hong Kingston, with The Woman Warrior. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of flack for that. Sherman Alexie has gotten some static from the Native American community from time to time. I try to do things like change names, change occupations. I had a funny experience with my mother when they were filming This Boy's Life, and the filmmakers had interpolated a sex scene, which was not in my book, between the mother figure and her husband. And of course, I knew nothing about my mother's sex life and certainly didn't want to know anything. In fact, I think the stork is probably an invention of children to protect them from knowledge of their parents. But anyway, I objected strongly and finally got the filmmakers to agree to change her name. My mother was then a very respectable old lady. She was head of the League of Women Voters in Volusia County, Florida. And I thought that this would be a good thing. So I went to see the movie with her, and indeed, she clamped down on my hand during that scene. And then at the end of the movie, she turned to me and said, they changed my name. And I said, actually, Mom, I was very proud. I said, actually, Mom, I had them change your name. She said, you had them change my name? Why did you do that? And I said, well, you know, that sex scene. And she said, but that was with Robert De Niro.
And the actress was Ellen Barkin, and she's quite a looker, so your mother is probably quite flattered.
Oh, absolutely.
I wonder what private revelations do to the author when the subject itself is truly intimate. I'm thinking about Catherine Harrison, who had a real shocker book a few years ago called The Kiss, a memoir about the incestuous relationship that she had conducted with her father, who had been estranged from her until she turned 20. And then this affair carried out for 4 years or so. Mm-hmm. The father was alive when that book was published. She had young children. And you can't help but think every time she set foot in any public place, people would look at her and think, oh, she's the one who had that affair.
she was examining her own complicity in this. That was what the book was about and why it was so courageous. And she was trying to come to a truthful accounting of something that had obviously sat very heavily on her heart and to some extent deformed her life. And she should not have been held hostage by some hesitance of her father's to be known for doing what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is finally the issue. Can writers be held hostage by the squeamishness of other people? No, I don't think they should be any more than they should be held hostage by a government's wish not to be recognized for doing what it's doing or for the practices of the oppressive practices of a community or a family. Writers, you know, for better or worse, are bound to tell these stories, the truth as they see it. I know not everyone feels this way. Annie Dillard, for example, a friend of mine, has, when she wrote her memoir, she told me that she showed the manuscript to all her family and friends who were closely involved in the story. This was American Childhood, her memoir of growing up, and really allowed them to bring things into closer conformity with their memories.
So she made changes on the basis of what they told her?
I believe so, where their version of things was quite different from hers. I wouldn't do that myself, but that was her very legitimate, very considerate approach to writing a book like this.
I have an author friend whose mother sued him, took him to court for a novel that he wrote about family life.
Oh boy, that's even worse than the lottery ticket.
But yeah, I told the story to Philip Roth, and he roared and he said, "Well, that's the next story he needs to write." That guy.
That's true.
I came across a wonderful statement from the Nobel Literature Laureate, Czeslaw Milosz.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "When a writer is born into a family, the family is doomed."
Well, there you are. William Gass has a great line in an essay that he wrote about autobiography, and he said, "He who writes his autobiography is already a monster."
Tobias Wolff writes memoirs, novels, and short stories. This Boy's Life was his 1989 account of growing up in a small town north of Seattle. Another memoir from 1994, In Pharaoh's Army, described a war year in Vietnam. Tobias Wolff's most recent book is a collection of short stories. It's called The Night in Question. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.